Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
We will get into the potential return here. Right when you think somebody is walking away, they all of a sudden may not be. We will get into that here coming up in just a couple of minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. I do have a question, though. Danny G, the executive producer of this program, the man who steers the ship, and then occasionally they let the drunk passengers drive the boat a couple of times a year, which is me, and I just try not to hit the iceberg. But Danny G, so Clay is in Mexico. Now, he will be back tomorrow, but he is in Mexico. Do we know whether it was Cancun or Cabo that Clay's in?
I want to say Cancun.
Okay. And the reason I bring that up is because I couldn't figure it out last week because I've been to Cancun and the place sucks. I just want to say that it was a bachelor party. It was a terrible experience, but I'm assuming their accommodations were much better than ours. And this is the other thing I wanted to ask you. Did him and Jeff Schwartz vacation together, or did they just happen to be in the same place?
They double dated together. Well, I guess that's what a double date is. But they didn't, no, they didn't plan this. I think it all lined up because of the timing of that snowstorm.
Gotcha.
In Nashville, and the fact that Clay went there a little later than he was planning on, and that's when Jeff was also going. But yeah, I wondered the same thing. I'm like, man, are they next door neighbors with the villa? Are they sharing the same servant? And I'm not even for sure that it's Cancun. I took a guess because, I mean, I'm not following that closely because, like, we're the O-linemen of network radio, right?
Right.
So we... Yeah, our names don't really get called unless we make a big mistake.
That's
like a 15-yard penalty, you know, for something we shouldn't do, you know, during the radio show.
Yeah, of course.
You know, just like a lineman. If he, you know, punches somebody in the helmet, 15 yards right there.
Or if he gives up one sack but shuts the guy down the entire game, all everybody talks about is the one sack he gets up. It's like,
right.
I think Jadeveon Clowney had the one hit against Michigan in the bowl game, and that's all anybody talks about from that game. But if I'm not mistaken, Taylor Lewan was the offensive lineman in charge of blocking Clowney in that game and dominated him the entire game. You don't hear anything about that.
You know, I looked at Twitter a little bit, but I went to San Diego. That was my version of Cancun.
Mexico. What are you talking about?
I didn't have a villa, but
that
was cool that they, you know, got to show off their wives on Twitter.
Yeah, it is. I'm not even, just leave me out of this. I'm not trying to piss off my wife, so I'll no comment here. But this is all I will say. I saw them together in Mexico. And look, wherever they are, it doesn't matter if it's Cabo, Cancun, Jalisco, Tijuana, Guadalajara, it doesn't matter. Wherever they are, it's nicer than where we are. That's all I know. But I thought to myself, man, the last thing I would want to do on vacation is have dinner with somebody I work with. And it's no offense to anybody I work with, but like this is when you get away and kind of like if you just happen to bump into somebody, it'd be like, hey, man, love you. Let's go get drinks afterwards, but I'm going to have dinner with my lady. And there they are taking pictures together. I thought, okay, so what was it? This a joint trip? Was there a bundled package? But nonetheless, Outkick the Coverage represented nicely in Mexico.
Well, at least he doesn't work with Jeff every day. Jeff is on the show once a week.
That is true.
And he probably owes a lot to Jeff because Jeff was one of the guys who opened the doors for him way back in the day. Clay was writing a book and Jeff invited him to training camp.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So that was how their relationship started. Imagine, you know, you're trying to like get information for a book you're writing and everyone keeps telling you, nope, we're not going to help you. And this guy was like, yeah, come on over.
That's awesome.
We'll let you be part of the training.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And of course, Clay did wonders. You know, the famous video of Tom Brady for the combine.
Yeah.
That was Clay at the training camp.
Clay shot that?
No, that's what Clay looked like. At
camp. Very good. I was going to say. So basically what Danny G just revealed here on the show is that it's okay to, have dinner on vacation with somebody you don't work with every day, that also means he's not interested in ever having a vacation dinner with Roberto, our technical producer here at Fox Sports Radio. Yeah. That's the
Roberto and I have seen each other exactly one time away from the radio.
During the pandemic.
Yeah, so at a Target.
At a Target.
of all the times you guys run into each other, the country shut down, and you're next to each other at Target. We appreciate Danny kicking Roberto in the nuts on the air like that early in the morning, telling him you want vacation with him. Unbelievable. All right. Jonas Knox again in for Clay Travis here on Fox Sports Radio. Speaking of back, we said Clay Travis is going to be back here tomorrow on the show. Apparently, Drew Brees might be coming back. This is great. The story that keeps on giving. Drew Brees, there's a video that surfaced of Drew Brees working out. Now, I think it was his trainer, whatever. But it wasn't one of those workouts to where you retire and you're going to take it easy and maybe do some buys and tries, maybe get in there, do a little bit of chest, do some cardio on the treadmill. No. Drew Brees is pushing a weighted sled up some hill somewhere, which is pure agony. It's not fun, but you do that stuff if you're training for an MMA fight or if you're training to really build your leg muscles. And anybody that's ever stopped competing in anything, you realize the further you are away from not competing, the less you want to work on your legs. It's not fun. It always hurts, and it sits with you for days and days. And there's Drew Brees pushing up some sled up a hill somewhere. I don't even know where it was. And all of a sudden, the discussions turn to, could he be making a comeback? Could Drew Brees be making a comeback? Now, my initial thought on this is absolutely not. Absolutely not. Drew Brees is going to be back. There's no chance he's back. He's done. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, he's got this big-time deal with NBC. All right, he saw what Tony Romo did, and he realized there's a lot of money to be had in this, so let me go ahead and do this. Now, hopefully, he's the opposite of Tony Romo, in which he comes in, guesses plays, and guesses a bunch of plays right early on, and then proceeds to miss games for a golf tournament, and then guess on plays later on turn out to be incorrect, and forgetting that certain plays happened while he was on the broadcast. So hopefully, it's the opposite of Tony Romo, who some people have suspected, and again, I'm not one of those people. I'm not here to pass judgment on anybody, but some people have suspected that Tony Romo, not really a fan of prepping for these games. You know, not really one of those guys to prep for some of these games that he calls. But Drew Brees has got this big-time deal with NBC. And so you look at that and you go, dude, you got a Super Bowl. You're a Hall of Famer. You got a bunch of records. You're the king of New Orleans. Dude, go do TV. Your body's not where it once was. Go do TV. The other reason why I believe that Drew Brees is going to be retiring is because his coach spilled the beans before the season. Drew Brees signed a 2-year contract extension. Sean Payton goes on a local, does an interview on a podcast or a local affiliate there in New Orleans, and tells him, while talking, and Drew's entering his final year, and you thought to yourself, well, wait a second, he just signed a 2-year deal. How could he be entering the final year if he just signed a 2-year contract? How's that work? And then Sean Payton had to backtrack and say, oh, I don't know what I'm talking about. Drew's going to, he's going to make up his own mind. Like, no, you did. You told the truth the first time. Now you're just backtracking on everything. Now it's, I'm not really sure, because there was a little bit of blowback. So I do believe Drew Brees is walking away. I think he had his farewell game. I think he did it in the Superdome. And I think a lot of people looked at it and said, you know what? It's time to move on. Body given out. Coach spilled the beans. He's got a life after football that's going to pay him handsomely. He's good to go. But here's what I think is actually happening. So that's what I believe is going to happen. But here's what I think is actually happening right now. I don't believe that Drew Brees is coming back. I do think he's done. But I think part of this is, let's go ahead and stretch this going away party out for as long as possible. You know, let's stretch this whole thing out for as long as possible. It's why there are some people out there. I've known, some women. I've even known some guys. They don't have a birthday. They have a birthday week. And then some would extend it past the birthday week to a birthday month. I'm not a fan of it. at a certain point, you got to get over yourself. But there are some people that do that. Now, again, not trying to pass judgment. I'm not trying to say if you listening to this right now as a man does anything other than a birthday and turn it into a weekend or a week. I'm not trying to call names here on the radio. That's the last thing I want to do. I would just simply say that you're probably a blowhard and you need to get over yourself. All right. There's no need to extend your birthday past anything longer than what it is, a 24-hour celebration of you reaching another year of your life. You don't need to extend it past that. Drew Brees has now extended his going away party way too long. Way too long. Philip Rivers couldn't retire fast enough. And Philip Rivers actually looked okay in his playoff game. Drew Brees stunk in the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And furthermore, Drew Brees made himself look foolish when he ran off the field against the Bears, running his mouth on that quarterback sneak over the goal line, looking into the camera, talking trash like he was Ric Flair in his prime, only to find out he short-armed it. He didn't even score. So this idea that Drew Brees has got to take all this time to figure out, no, we know the answer. All right, he's going to retire, but he's stretching this out for as long as possible. I think it's going to happen this week or possibly the next. That's what I believe. New league year's here. Free agency is going to start up soon. I think that's when it's going to happen. And furthermore, I'll call my shot again. And I've said this before. I will say it again. If you were betting on what day of the week Drew Brees announces his retirement, I'm telling you right now, bet everything you got on a Wednesday. Because Wednesdays in sports talk radio are notorious for being the quote-unquote slowest days of the week. The slowest days of the week. Which is why the gift from gods during the college football season is the college football playoff ranking show. Because it happens on a Tuesday, and you come back on a Wednesday, and here we go. You just need something to wet your beak on a Wednesday so you can move forward in the conversation. Drew Brees knows this. He knows all eyes will be on him on a Wednesday. It sure as hell is not going to be on a Monday when everybody's recapping the weekend. It sure as hell is not going to be on a Friday when everybody's heading into the weekend, and weekend hosts like myself and others are here on Fox Sports Radio. We don't maybe have the cachet that some of the big-time, big-name hosts do during the week. So he doesn't want to let us take this. He doesn't want to let us talk about his greatness. I'm telling you, it'll be happening. Don't read anything more into these videos. I think it's all smoke screens. Drew Brees trying to extend this out, extend out the celebration a little bit more. He will retire, and it will happen on a Wednesday. There's that. And if he does come back, all we got to do is completely delete this entire segment from the podcast, and you have no proof I ever said it. So take that. All right, get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter. Coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio, there is more discussion in the NFL to be had, more discussion. And I don't know why the NFL does this. It's very, very puzzling why this is done, but we will dive into that next here on FSR. Coming up here in 12 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio, a former NFL quarterback has stumbled upon what I believe is the most impossible task known to man. All right. Now, many of you are going to think, no, I can do this. I'm telling you, you cannot. That'll be coming up here 12 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. You know, the NFL is really just a cruel, cruel, ruthless league, if you think about it. And I'm not even just saying this in regards to what the NFL does to its players and the damage it does to the bodies and all this stuff, and you know how heartless they can be when they release a player after he signs a contract, and you get situations like Belichick cutting a guy, you know, the night before a Super Bowl. I'm not talking, or you know, Malcolm Butler standing on the sidelines. I'm not talking about, you know, what they do to their own. All right, I'm talking about what they do to others. Right. Because if you are, I don't know, like the NBA or Major League Baseball or some of these other leagues, and you plan on putting your games head-to-head with the NFL, you're just going to lose. You know, it's the old quote from Rowdy Roddy Piper, don't throw rocks at a guy who's got a machine gun. It's like the NFL sitting there with an Uzi, and for some reason, They just continue to determine whether or not they want to go ahead and mark their tracks and let you be known that, hey, we know that this was your space before. We're going to go ahead and take that. All right, we're going to go ahead and take that. College football is fortunate that they came back this past season, because the NFL would have just started playing games on Saturdays. That was going to happen. The NFL was going to just, they were just going to, oh, okay, we'll just play games on Saturdays. No problem. And you think any of the networks that have college football rights were going to be like, no, 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 you can't do it. Oh, please do. Welcome in. Yeah, come on out. Like, please, welcome in. Like, have a Saturday game. Come on, have two. Don't worry. Like, don't, get greedy if you need to. The reason I bring all this up, as we were talking about the scheduling twists and things that are a possibility, this according to Peter King of Monday Morning Quarterback, and this came out late last night. One of the elements to this is Christmas football, right? So the NFL is considering, because December 25th falls on a Saturday, just like we mentioned, the NFL is considering playing two games that day, right? Now, part of this is it was such a smashing success. The Saints-Vikings game got over 20 million viewers on Fox, which is the highest non-Sunday ranking for the network in more than 2 years. So over 2 years, they never had a higher non-Sunday game than what they had on Christmas between the Vikings and the Saints, which, if I'm not mistaken, that was the Alvin Kamara 6-touchdown or 7-touchdown game, which was basically, if you played somebody in your fantasy football playoffs and they had Alvin Kamara that week, you knew by the end of Christmas you were done. Just done. Yeah, it's over. You knew right then and there, okay, well, that's a wrap. You know, it's like finding out, your ex is now dating Dirk Diggler. All right, I'm going to go ahead and delete her number now. Yeah, going to go move on from that. It's over. We're going to leave, and we're not going to even approach the subject anymore. It's over. The NFL put up massive numbers on the Christmas Day game, and now they're thinking about throwing two on. If you're the NBA, you got to be looking around going, I mean, can we get a break here? You know what I mean? Can we get a break? And listen, I like the NBA as much as the next guy, but you can't compete. It's not happening. You cannot compete. And if the NBA thinks, no, Christmas Day is our day, we'll show the NFL what's up, you got no shot. It's not happening. You have no chance in this war. And so the NFL, and look, they're not trying to screw the NBA over. They don't even bother with the NBA. It's like the team in your favorite team's division that everyone says, oh, it's a rival. And you're like, rival? What are you talking about? There's no rivalry here. Like, this is not a rivalry. Do you think Steeler fans actually look at the Browns and go, man, this is one of the great rivalries in football? No, I mean, you beat us in the playoffs, but Jesus, you guys have been bad for years and years. It's the same thing Laker fans feel about the Clippers. When Clipper fans start barking about, oh man, this LA's our town, we're taking over, the Lakers are like, wait, what? You had 7 years. We missed the playoffs for over a half decade. You had your chance. There's no rivalry here. The NBA is not a threat to the NFL. Therefore, the NFL doesn't feel like they're doing anything wrong by scheduling these games on Christmas. So if this happens and the NFL goes through with this and they put on two games on Christmas, thoughts and prayers to the NBA ratings that day, because the NFL is king and they'll be king on that day as well too. Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. You can listen to the show as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can get me on Twitter at the Jonas Knox. It's at the Jonas Knox on Twitter. All right, coming up next, a former NFL quarterback stumbled upon what I believe is the most difficult task known to man, but it's something many of you try every single weekend. I'll tell you what it is next year on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Coming up top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we have got some new information, All right, some new details, a new look inside the situation in Seattle between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, and it's not looking good. We will just say that it is not looking good. So new details and a discussion to be had coming up here, top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. So I wanted to bring this up because it got me thinking. And I don't know that I have an answer, but I want to see if any of the guys on the crew have an answer, either Eddie or Danny G or Roberto. So a video came out on Sunday night. Jay Cutler, former NFL quarterback, guy who you know, was married to a full-blown rocket ship. Let's just call it what it was, Kristen Cavallari. He has now ventured off and is just living life. They're divorced. They got kids together, and he goes out, and he's on this ski trip, and he's doing all sorts of stuff, and he's like one of these like fun follows on social media for a lot of people. And it's kind of the opposite of what everybody thought he was as a player, which is what I had always heard, is that kind of the presentation of him, it's not exactly what you think. There's a lot of guys who really, really like him, and they just say he's got a dry sense of humor, and a lot of people don't get it, and he's just very blunt and very honest. So he's on this ski trip this past weekend. I don't know where. I don't ski. You know, it's just not, you know, that's kind of like an income bracket above where I am, you know, ski trips. Just feels like something that, you know, probably wouldn't suit me, to be honest with you. They're on the ski trip, and there's a guy at the resort who wants to take a picture with Cutler. And Jay Cutler tells the guy no. And the guy goes, please. And he says, all right, if you can pound that entire pitcher of beer, I'll take a picture with you. And it is a giant pitcher of beer. I mean, not one of these normal, you know, pitchers that you get at a local pizza parlor. I mean, this thing's huge. Got to be like 60 ounces at least. And the guy does it. And pounds the entire pitcher. Now, he's spilling a little bit while he's doing it, but he finishes the whole thing. Cutler walks over, shakes his hand, and takes the picture with him. And just says, all right, I didn't think you could, and you did it. So it got me to thinking. Other than water, is there anything on planet Earth that you could chug a pitcher of? I mean, anything on planet Earth. Now, I think that I could probably do beer, but I would just end up barfing. But I thought about it. I swear to God, I don't know that there's anything on Earth. So Danny G, Roberto, Eddie Garcia, yeah. Is there any liquid on Earth other than water that you could chug 60 ounces or more in one gulp and survive? Because I really don't think that there is. I've thought, okay, what do I like? Orange juice? No, that wouldn't work. That would just rip your stomach up.
I don't think I could chug water, to be honest with you. I don't like water.
You don't like water?
No, I hate water.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I love water. I have at least 200 to 300 ounces a day. That's all I do is drink water.
I mean, I get water in other things, but just like straight water?
I could never. Do water. Room temperature water, I could do 60 ounces of. I believe I could
beer
do 60
for sure. I could do it.
You think you could do 60 ounces
of
beer?
Oh, yeah, in a heartbeat.
You're so full of it. What are we talking? What kind of beer?
Let's see. Dos Equis Amber or...
No, you couldn't. Dos Equis Amber, a darker beer?
Dude, I love that beer.
Get out of here. You could not do Dos Equis
Negra Modelo. Oof.
Oh, you are so full of... Negra Modelo?
I kill a 12-pack of that every weekend.
Yeah, but in one gulp, 60 ounces of Negra Modelo?
Yeah.
How about sangria? Roberto. Could probably do sangria.
That's a good one. How about Pacifico then? Pacifico.
All right, that's a good one. See, the carbonation screws with you. Because like I've thought about this too. Have you ever seen somebody like trying? Do you think anybody's ever tried to do a beer bong of like Coca-Cola or Diet Pepsi or a Pepsi? Because there's so much carbonation, I just think that you would end up throwing up.
You never done a keg stand?
Yeah, a keg stand, but that's not 60 ounces. I mean, I'm talking, this was a giant pitcher of beer. And I thought, other than water, what is sangria? Is a good one. I didn't think about sangria. That seems like that's a possibility. But I don't know. Like, milk you cannot do, right? Physically, you can't do milk. Like, I've heard that, to where if you drink enough milk, it rips up your stomach.
Maybe when
impossible.
I was, like, a teenager, grape Kool-Aid.
Oh, that's a good one, too. Okay, all right. That's all right.
Depends
so we've got
how
two...
much sugar your mom lets you put in
that
it, though.
That's true.
Eh?
That it's like, what is it House Party where they show them making the Kool-Aid and they're pouring the sugar inside of it?
It's just enough sugar to make it a little sweet for me.
Yeah, by the way, was there anything that got rid of the stain on the top of your lip from drinking Kool-Aid? I don't know what was in the Kool-Aid, but that stuck for days. Like, if that was really impossible to get up. Okay, grape Kool-Aid, that's also a good one. Okay, I think I. Wow, man, that's all right. So great.
Now you're
Kool-Aid
a Chicago football fan. Is there a quarterback worthwhile in your past to drink that much for?
Oh,
for
God,
you,
no.
Like if you saw Rex Grossman, maybe.
Well, they would drink that much, but not for that. You know, not for that reason.
Yeah, no.
Try to forget you know, play.
Yeah. Oh, hey, trust me, we got more on the Bears quarterback situation later on. It has now taken the turn towards circus act in Chicago.
Holy crap! There's Chad Hutchinson.
Yeah, I don't.
I want a picture with him.
Let me tell you something, man. Cade McNown, Peter Tom Willis, Mike Tomczak, you name it.
Cade McNown, legend.
I thought about that. Look, that guy really must love Cutler to try and chug that much beer. I don't think that there's a liquid outside. We've just established grape Kool-Aid and sangria are the only two. And apparently Negro Modelo, which is the biggest lie ever told by Roberto.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
So the Russell Wilson Seattle Seahawks conversation is awkward to say the least. And this is, you know, on the heels of Russell Wilson, who appeared on the Dan Patrick Show, heard on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates a few weeks back. And he talked about just, you know, the situation in Seattle, his unhappiness, wanting, a little bit more control, tired of taking hits. That came later on in the day. So he made the comments, went public. Then it came out later on in the day that he wanted even more than that. Reportedly, the Seahawks weren't happy about it. They were bothered that he aired that stuff out in public. Then came an article via The Athletic last week, which we talked about a lot on the show Friday, just in regards to Russell Wilson wanting more control, going into see the Seahawks last season before a game. They basically pushed back on him. He stormed out. He was not happy. There was some frustration there, clearly. And the Seattle Seahawks released, there were some quotes that came out of that article in The Athletic where, some people accuse Russell Wilson of trying to, this is a PR stunt, that he's trying to deflect all the blame because of how poorly he played towards the end of the year. And then later on in the day, of course, it comes out that his agent goes to Adam Schefter and says, he doesn't want to be traded away from Seattle, but if he were to get traded away from Seattle, here are the four teams he'd consider: the Cowboys, the Raiders, the Bears, and the Saints. It's awkward. The whole thing is awkward. And you just start seeing little details that come out, and you wonder how long has this been actually going on for until it finally blew up and these two sides started going public. One of the other details that came out over the past couple of days was that a report says that Russell Wilson feels like Pete Carroll and Pete Carroll's sons don't answer to anybody. Right. So now we're bringing the family into it. So this has now gone from let Russ cook to they apparently are not seeing eye to eye on anything, so much so that Russell Wilson's unhappy with the relatives of Pete Carroll that are in the building and don't have to answer to anybody. So this is all, and you're hearing different thoughts and theories as to what is going on. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, he released an article earlier this morning. And in the article, he kind of points out, what it would take for Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll to get back on in good graces. He was on board with the hiring of the offensive coordinator. They need to improve the offensive line. They had an end of a year meeting, and a lot of it was about, Russell Wilson, trying to figure out a way to finish his career strong, and hopefully it's there in Seattle. So that seems like it's kind of positive. But then there's other details that come out. Like, they talk to one source, and they're talking to a league executive, rather, and they ask the league executive about a possibility of whether or not Russell Wilson is going to be traded. And one rival executive was quoted as saying, quote, "It depends on whether or not John Snyder is finally fed up." All right. So why would you finally be fed up with something? Well, when it's been simmering for quite some time. You know, if you finally had enough of something, it means you've had enough for a while. You're just finally ready to act on it. And so the conversation becomes, well, so what's been going on there? And they allude to the fact that Russell Wilson went from very humble, somewhat awkward, a little bit uncomfortable quarterback who they felt like coaches maybe coddled a little bit, to celebrity. He's a star now. I mean, right after this report comes out in The Athletic last week, what happens? Russell Wilson goes on Twitter and he's got some pre-produced workout video. I mean, does that seem like the same guy? And I'm that's not to be upset about it. It's not to criticize the guy. But this is a far cry from who we thought he was coming into the league and where he's at now. And it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Doesn't mean it's a reflection on him as a human being. It just clearly shows that there are other things at play here. And so there are some people who feel like the constant talk about Russ's legacy is wearing on people, about his, you know, how he's going to be viewed is wearing on people. That maybe this whole it's all about Russ sort of conversation is starting to wear people out. And it got me thinking, and I've been thinking about it over the past couple of days. The perception of Russell Wilson, maybe we've got it all wrong. All right. And maybe there are some people that deserve an apology. All right. I'm not saying that this is the case, but maybe this is how we should view this Russell Wilson situation. Some of the recent behavior, doesn't it seem the opposite of what he's always tried to show you that he is during the time of his career? Like, he can't leave an interview without saying, "Go Hawks," right? I mean, that's, "Go Hawks, go Hawks." That's his thing. Like, it's just, this is, I'm all about the team. All about the team. And it's like, okay, but then, your errant teammates out, and you're upset with the coach and his kids, and it feels like it's more, less go Hawks and more go Russ. That's what it feels like to me. Just feels a little bit odd. And if you actually look back during his time in the NFL as a Seahawks quarterback, he's been pretty protected. There was a report that came out several years ago. There was an article that Seth Wickersham did in which defensive players there, most notably Richard Sherman and the real leaders and voices in that locker room, they felt like he got unfair treatment from Pete Carroll in the sense that everybody else was held to a certain standard, but Russ, you couldn't really criticize him. And in fact, Richard Sherman was getting on Russ's case and talking trash to him in a practice one time, and Pete Carroll pulled him aside and said, "Hey, ease up a little bit. Ease up a little bit." And that culture in Seattle of the competitiveness, of the going back and forth, that is what Seattle was all about. Brady Quinn, who's my radio wife here on Fox Sports Radio, he actually spent the offseason in Seattle. The year they won the Super Bowl, he was there in the offseason. And he said he's never seen a more competitive locker room in his life. Never seen anything like it. Everything was a competition. Everything. And it was Pete Carroll and Pete Carroll's energy and constant competition between the best players on that team. Defense against offense, heavy competition. Russell Wilson against Richard Sherman, competition. And it was those guys on defense that were in his ear telling him whether or not he made a bad play and whether or not he sucked. And Pete Carroll then told those guys, "Nah, why don't you ease up a little bit? Just ease up a little bit." So he's been pretty protected, which I think is part of the reason why maybe the Seahawks are frustrated, because they feel like they went out of their way to make sure that he was comfortable in a time that maybe he wasn't comfortable and in a locker room in which he wasn't comfortable. But here's the other why, and I can't believe that this has sort of been overlooked, because I really was thinking about this a lot this weekend. If you were to consider the worst turnover in Super Bowl history, what would it be? Like, if somebody asked you, "Hey, what's the worst turnover in the history of the Super Bowl?" You might say, "Okay, well, the Leon Lett, Don Beebe play where he's chasing him down from behind. Okay, that's one. Peyton Manning had that pick six in the Super Bowl against the New Orleans Saints. That was a pretty bad one. You could argue, the Cam Newton fumble, which he didn't, to some people, he didn't, you know, jump on and didn't lay his body out for that fumble late in that game against the Broncos. You could say that was the worst turnover. To me, there's a clear answer. And in fact, I don't even think it's close. It's Russell Wilson's interception from the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl. That's the worst turnover in the history of the Super Bowl. And he gets no blame for it. None. When you talk about that turnover, who gets the blame? Pete Carroll. Darrell Bevell. Because why would you throw the ball there? Why didn't you give it to Marshawn Lynch? We don't blame the quarterback for it, who made the throw. We blame the coaches for letting the quarterback make the throw. Does that make any sense at all on any level? Is that ever applicable at any time for any other quarterback in the NFL? It does, like any other quarterback in the NFL, nobody gets treated like that. Nobody. I don't care who it is. You throw that turnover, you throw that interception, that's on you, man. When Tom Brady threw the clincher pick six as a Patriot against Clay's Tennessee Titans, did anybody say, man, how could Bill Belichick make that? I mean, what is he doing? Why would Josh McDaniels put Tom Brady in that situation near the goal? No. Brady was the guy criticized for throwing the pick six. He threw the ball. Russell Wilson gets bailed out, gets no criticism. And he's the author of the worst turnover in the history of the Super Bowl. A turnover that's the difference between the Seahawks being a Super Bowl champion to a borderline dynasty. And that was because of Russell Wilson. And he gets no blame for it. Just think about that. Where does that ever happen in the NFL? It never happens that way. Nobody ever looks back at Jimmy Garoppolo's bad ending in the Super Bowl and goes, man, that Kyle Shanahan, what the hell is he doing? No. They look at Jimmy Garoppolo and go, dude, what are you doing? Like, why did you make that play? Russell Wilson, though, no blame. Just gets to stroll through. And so the point being, I wonder if some of these guys on that defense, as mentioned by Albert Breer, in the article on Sports Illustrated, he alludes to it, that a lot of players really enjoyed that competitive atmosphere. They kind of took umbrage of the fact that Russell Wilson was being treated differently than some of the other players on the team. I wonder, and this they could probably never go public with this, but I wonder if there's a side group text. I wonder if there are conversations, and I wonder if there are discussions that are being had by players who were formerly there, guys like Richard Sherman, maybe other guys on that defense who are probably sitting around going, we tried to tell you. I mean, we tried to tell you. But like nobody would listen to us. They chose Russ over all of us. We tried to tell you. Because think about it. Has that team ever been as good since those guys left? I mean, Russell Wilson's still there. Have they ever been as good since those guys left? Since that Super Bowl, Russell Wilson's got a losing record in the playoffs. So I just wonder, and I'm not saying this is a fact, but I just wonder if there is some resentment in the building and some resentment outside of the building from players who were there over the decision to hand the keys to the car to Russell Wilson only to have the guy air the team out in public like he did the past couple of weeks. I'm just saying, nobody's been protected like Russell Wilson. Nobody. Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis here on Fox Sports Radio. This is Outkick the Coverage here on FSR. You can get me on Twitter at the Jonas Knox, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter. Coming up next, we have bad news for NFL coaches. This is terrible, terrible news for NFL coaches. We'll tell you what that is next here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
All sorts of NFL. We will continue the NFL conversation now through the end of the hour here on Fox Sports Radio. But right now, we welcome in a guy I have the pleasure of talking to every single weekend here on FSR. He is Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports Radio's NFL Insider, Sirius XM NFL Radio as well, and he is joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Cap, what's happening?
Good to talk to you, my friend. Good to see you're up nice and early.
Yeah, listen, you and I doing a weekday hit together. We're hitting the big time here, Adam.
I know. Our worlds are colliding. Yes, during the week on a Monday morning. Love it.
Listen, we're too cool for Saturdays now. We'll just rub it in Bucky Brooks' face when we talk to him next. Right. All right, so it feels like – now, there was another article that came out from Albert Breer in regards to a little bit more about what's going on behind the scenes with the Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll stuff. Then there was this little tidbit that came out and started making the rounds over the weekend that, you know, Russell Wilson was unhappy that that Pete Carroll and his sons don't have to answer to anybody. And I don't know about you, Adam, but it feels like every report that comes out, it just gets a little bit more awkward and a little bit more awkward. What are you reading and what have you heard from people about where we stand with this relationship between the two?
Yeah, so let me sum it up this way. As long as Pete Carroll's the head coach, the offense is going to go through the run game. That's not going to change. Russell Wilson wants to go more to toward the pass game. They're not going to be able to meet in the middle. That's not going to change. So when you see stuff come out, some of this is very minor. That doesn't matter. What matters is the philosophy difference of opinion. That's not going to change. They'll never meet in the middle. It's just not going to happen. So we could continue to talk about this for a week or a month or 2 years. In the end, they're not going to be able to agree on the direction of the offense, and that's why I think in the end, as long as over the next 3 to 4 years, as long as Pete's there, Russell's not going to be happy, and this will wind up being – this is going to end in a trade. Again, whether it's 2 months from now or 2 years from now, as long as Pete's here, it's just not going to change, and I don't see this ending well for both of those guys because of that.
Yeah, I feel the same way, and just the more that I've seen – I just get this weird feeling that – this could be wrapping up here. Like I know he had the four teams that he listed.
Yeah.
I mean, which makes sense to you? I look at the Raiders as having the most to offer because of Derek Carr and whatever the trade compensation would be. But what would a trade for Russell Wilson look like if one of those four teams wanted to make the move?
Yeah, and obviously you'd like to have a veteran quarterback to come back and multiple first round picks. There's no question about it. Then, you know, if you're the Raiders, you have to decide, though, how you're going to build around him. You know, the Raiders have they're okay at wide receiver. They're not bad. They're going to be very young there, as I understand it. The problem with the Raiders, though, is defense. And if you're going to give up significant draft compensation, it's going to be hard to rebuild that defense. Their defense was terrible. The talent level on that side is bad. Gruden and Mike Mayock have done a good job of building the offense. It's just that the defense has got a lack of talent. And, you know, if you're giving up significant draft capital, it's hard. Remember, they traded away Khalil Mack in 2018. So that would have to be rebuilt. And then, you know, the Bears, by the way, the Bears are the team, though. They were in on Matthew Stafford, no question about it. They were not, I'm told, on Carson Wentz, but they're looking for a quarterback. And then obviously you have the Dak situation with the Cowboys. Dak's not going anywhere. That one's just – I just don't see how that could happen, but – The rumors are going to continue through the next few months. I don't see them stopping. Even if it comes out that they've told people they're not going to trade him this year, it's not going to change, Jonas, because the offensive philosophy is not going to change as long as Pete Carroll's the head coach.
Do you think that there's a Adam Kaplan joining us here on Fox Sports Radio? Do you think, and I don't know the guy, so but from people you talk to, has Russell Wilson's celebrity reached a point to where it's now, you know, more about Russ, legacy, what I've got going on, me, what's going to happen? Not that that's a bad thing. He's thinking about himself, but I just wonder if maybe part of that is rubbing the Seahawks the wrong way and ultimately might end up rubbing teammates the wrong way.
Well, you know, also we should mention that Pete Carroll is personnel control, so it ultimately will be his decision whether they wind up trading Russell Wilson. But when you look at Russell Wilson, it's not a secret. You heard him on the Dan Patrick Show. When Dan kept asking me, finally gave in and said, "Yeah, I would like to have input." Well, that's certainly part of this issue. You see, a guy like Tom Brady clearly has input with personnel. It's not his decision, but he suggested some players he'd like to see come play with him in Tampa, and that happened. I think Russell would like to have that sort of input. The input he has on the offense is not what he wants. By the way, that's the other part of this. And yeah, his legacy. He wants multiple Super Bowls. When he looks at the other quarterbacks, no one's going to touch Brady. He's sort of an outlier. But he'd like to be up there with the Peyton Mannings of the world. Manning obviously has got his two Super Bowls, one with the Colts and one with the Broncos, and all the great quarterbacks in National Football League. I think there's some truth to that. But the big one will never change. It's the number one reason why he's frustrated is the direction of the offense. Trust me on that. You remember my report with you guys before the season started about how they're going to let Russ cook. I mean, it turned out to be correct. And then I don't know what happened to the second half of the season. They came very conservative for whatever reason. They were not passing as much in the first half of the games, and I know that frustrated Wilson.
Oh, and let's be honest, he didn't play great towards the end.
He didn't. He was out of rhythm. Yeah, that's true. But they were not as aggressive. They were throwing the ball over 6% less compared to the first half and the second half in the first half of games. For whatever reason, Pete brought back the reins. And here's the other thing. Their defense was awful. Let's call it like it is. Their defense was poor. So when that happens, you should want to score more points and be aggressive. And that's not what Pete believes, like it or not.
Last point on the Russell Wilson stuff before we move on to some other things. Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports Radio, NFL Insider, Sirius XM, NFL Radio, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis. You mentioned the second Super Bowl. The interception he threw from the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl. I think it might be the worst turnover in Super Bowl history. And what's crazy about it is he gets no criticism for it. It's Pete Carroll and Daryl Bevel who decided to throw the ball, not Russell Wilson. It's just bizarre how that – and I just wonder if he's been really – I don't want to say protected, but maybe there was something to those guys on defense who felt like he was getting preferential treatment all those years, and maybe that's why this has turned out the way that it's turned out.
I would definitely say over the years that there are some people some observers of the team that feel like Wilson has been – had the criticism, just not that game in particular, but just overall when he has not played well, that he's been protected. Now, you mentioned, you're good at mentioning it, the second half of the season, also say that Wilson did not play well. He had a bad stretch of turnovers, and that bothered Pete, by the way. That he didn't really hide it in his press conferences. Now, we could say there are a variety of reasons, but he was pressing, and as I was told, that teams are playing more cover two to take away the deep ball. If you remember the first half, the deep ball between Metcalf and Wilson.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
And also Tyler Lockett. It was awesome. And then teams are taking it away. And remember, Russell does not like checking the ball down. He's not a check down quarterback. That's why the tight ends don't get the ball very much. He just doesn't check it down. And that's something that, the buy-in. And look, Carson Wentz went through this with Philly this season in particular. Not willing to check the ball down, looking for the big play. And, you got to take the easy pass sometimes. And That's a part of Russell Wilson's game that he's got to take responsibility for.
Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports Radio, NFL Insider, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for Clay. This is Outkick the Coverage. Any news on the Deshaun Watson front? Are we anywhere closer, or is Nick Caserio still sending a call straight to voicemail?
No, that was funny, but no. But what I had heard late last week was, I know one team that has talked to them three or four times since the season ended. Since Nick Caserio became the GM of the Texans. So if you ask about Deshaun Watson, he does one of two things. He either says, we're not going there, or this is my favorite, he acts like you didn't say it and he changes the subject. So he won't even acknowledge the name. Look, but I will continue to say, there's no urgency in March. There's going to be some urgency closer with a week or two of the draft. If he starts listening, this thing's getting done. Okay, this thing's getting done. And that's just the way it is. Because the thing is, if you – and I understand there's no way you could equate getting enough – 4 first-round picks does not make up the fact for this guy's a superstar. I get that part of it. But what I'm saying is if they entertain offers, it's a minimum of 3 first-round picks, could be more, and you got to get a starter out or two out of it. This guy's an absolute superstar, high-character guy. I understand that some Texas fans aren't happy that he wants out, but – there's a reason for it. The culture was horrendous last season, and some of the people, one guy in particular who some people point as part of that culture, is still there.
What's going on with Drew Brees? Adam, I thought
that's
we were
a confusing
done with this.
Yeah.
Okay, so didn't they move money reduce his salary down?
Yep.
So wasn't that an indicator?
Of course.
I mean, so what does that mean towards Drew Brees' future?
Look, what I would tell you is this. Sometimes we read into a video and go, oh my gosh, that means he's coming back. That's what means he wants to play. Within the next week or so, we're going to know for sure. RJ Glazer reported at the Super Bowl. No one downplayed it. I mean, Jay put out that Drew was going to retire. And you just talked about he took his salary, Drew did, and got it down to the veteran minimum, which helps him get down. Now, when you look at it, it's not a secret that they really, really like Jameis Winston. That's absolutely the truth. And they also have Taysom Hill there. So in the end, it seems logical that Drew's not coming back based on also the contract that – based on what they do with his contract. I mean, you're given a minuscule chance, but I find it funny that people are going overboard. We go overboard in anything. I'm not ruling it out, folks. I get it. It's fair to bring it up. But we seem to go overboard in anything that's out there on social media. It could be anything.
Damn right. It's what we do, Adam.
It's what we do.
Tis the season. It's draft season. Before we let you go, Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports Radio, NFL Insider. I saw Peter King had thrown out late last night. There was, you know, the possibility of a 17-game season. And, yes. You know, it seems like it's a foregone conclusion. One of the interesting elements to that is the talk of maybe putting a wild card game on Monday night. And I've been thinking about this just in watching what we saw this past season in the NFL. I think some things are going to be here to stay just in every walk of life moving forward. It's never going to go back to how it was. I would be totally open to the idea of more Monday night games, meaning if it's two on a Monday night throughout the course of the season, more times than just the opening weekend, I'd be up for it. And I like the idea of a wild card game on a Monday night. How realistic is that of a possibility?
Yeah, because here's the thing. You know, Saturday, you'd rather not have a game on Saturday, but we've had this forever, right. The wild card games on Saturday and Sunday. I wouldn't rule this out because it's something different. And also, they could just do a one-year test. They could see what the ratings are like.
Yeah.
Because you definitely, the way it works with television, you do not want to compete against anything. That's just the way it is. Whether it's the elections, whether it's the Final Four or whatever, you don't want to compete against anything. So timeliness of it, doing it on Monday night, now they have to make sure that they're not competing against anything in the playoffs. So, yeah, look, the 17th game is going to happen. We know that's happening. That there's no question. Look, we had the extra wild card. I didn't hear. By the way, I didn't see any complaints with it.
It was awesome.
No, yeah, it was. It was more football. We love football. That's why. Now nobody seemed to like the Tuesday games because of the pandemic. We had rescheduled games. People were not into the Tuesday football. I like your point though on two Monday night games. I think that thing went over fairly well.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun. He's Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports Radio's NFL Insider, SiriusXM NFL Radio. He's a great follow on Twitter, especially during this time of year with all the moves and possible moves and rumors out there. Get him on Twitter, at Kaplan NFL. Cap, always good talk. We'll do it again this weekend.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, man. The dual Monday night games or the back-to-back Monday night games, I just think that's a lot of fun. And this idea that, well, if you put it on that early, you know, is it going to be a problem for some people? Like, man, you'll figure it out. All right. If you want to watch it, you'll figure out a way to watch it. There are so many ways that you can tune in and check these games out. And look, there's a lot of normally how it works on week one of the NFL season is you'll get the late night game, which will usually be a West Coast game, which it's seemingly every single year. It was Raiders Broncos. Like every single year featured on the second Monday night game, it felt like it was that crummy O.co outdoor urinal in Oakland, and it was the Raiders hosting some team. Every year, with the baseball field still in play because the A's were still playing games. Every single Monday night to start off the season. So you had your West Coast game, and then you had your early game, whatever time that was, at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Well, if they can figure out a way to where you're not narrowing down the possibilities for that second game on Monday night, and if it means you're going to run a game at 5 p.m. Eastern time and then another at 8 p.m. Eastern time to do so, then that's what you do. And if it means 2 o'clock on the West Coast, then it's 2 o'clock on the West Coast. Hey, man, the people in Hawaii, it's 11 a.m. They're not bitching about it. They got to wake up at 7 a.m. to watch games during the NFL season on Sundays. So I think, as much as people want to push back on this stuff, start opening your minds to it, because I just think we're going to get more and more NFL as this thing continues. All right, coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio, there's a story that's making the rounds in the NFL. I think it's complete and total garbage. I think it's crap. I think it's BS. And I think it's people trying to tease us and see how many people are going to run with the story. We'll have that for you next here on FSR. I did see Josh Gordon is back. Kind of. Josh Gordon is in the fan-controlled football league. I have no idea where you watch those games. I am not familiar. I'm a big Johnny Manziel fan. I love Manziel coming out of Texas A&M. I know he plays for one of those teams. But Josh Gordon reportedly is back in the fan-controlled football league. And it just goes to show you that when people run with a story and run with a myth the legend of something, it takes on a life of its own. Because every time Josh Gordon makes a comeback in the NFL or beyond, the talk is, "Oof, hey Josh, man, if he could just get things together off the field, my God, what an upgrade he is for fill in the blank team at that position." And that's how he's viewed. Just this all world wide receiver who just, you know, he ran into some pitfalls here or there, but man, when that guy is right, there is nobody better. And a lot of people go, because I mean, think about it: 87 catches, led the league in receiving, had almost 1,700 yards receiving, had 9 touchdowns, and all of that with like a medley of mediocre quarterbacks in Cleveland. And man, in fact, that was 2013. It was almost a decade ago. And he's still looked at as the same guy that did all of that. That was 2013. I mean, at what point do we start to look back and go, okay, maybe that was the exception, not the rule. All right, you know, maybe we're just kind of I get it. He was fantastic, got all the physical traits in the world, but hasn't come close to that. Yet every time he makes a comeback, the thought is, oh man, if he could just get right, that's an up. Look. Talented guy, no doubt about it, but come on, man. Like at some point you have to take a step back and go, hey, if it happened once and that one time it did happen was almost 10 years ago, maybe there's a chance it's not ever going to happen again. You know, like maybe there's a chance that's how this works. Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis. Get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter. Coming up next, though, there is a story being told, a tale being told in the NFL, and I think it's complete crap. We'll tell you what that is next here on FSR.